My guest today is Heather Downing. Heather, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be here talking to you. What do you do?
What do I do? I'm a programmer, so I do all sorts of things. I'm a .NET developer for about 6 years, but I messed around with mobile and IoT, and recently natural language processing.
So. There's so many things we could talk about. But I know you're also a speaker.
I am a speaker. I've been fortunate enough to be given opportunities to do that. So I'm speaking here at IndieCode.
And this is a great conference.
It is its first year. It's inaugural year, and I'm super impressed with the people.
What did you talk about?
So at this conference, I did a soft skill talk on imposter syndrome, which talks about crisis of confidence.
I can totally relate.
Yes, I think a lot of people can relate to it, actually. And then I also spoke about building for Alexa with Web API on Azure.
And that sounds really cool. Let's talk about that.
I like that one, too.
And this is kind of Alexa is an Amazon thing. Yes. Azure is a Microsoft thing. They're competitors, but they work together.
They can.
It's kind of a hands across the water, hugging out, co-opetition sort of thing.
I think it's more that Amazon would absolutely love as many good skills to get into the marketplace as possible, and they want to make it easy for you to build on whatever stack you're used to.
Okay.
So they encourage you to use AWS Lambda, but they have an offering for any web service hosted securely. So I decided that we were going to try it on Azure because I have found it to be a little faster than hosting it on Amazon. I know, it's surprising, right?
Yeah, and as I actually work for Microsoft. I don't know if you know that.
I think I heard that about you.
And Microsoft has a similar philosophy, which is that, we want people to use our platform, but that doesn't mean you have to abandon all the other tools. We want that integration point. We want to say, use Alexa, for example, to call Azure Web Apps or Azure's any kind of service.
Oh, absolutely. The reason I fell in love with Alexa is because my mother understood it. And she's like, I can use this right away. I don't have to push any buttons and worry about the size of a screen. I can just say something with my arms full, and it works.
That's good. The Heather's mom test.
It is the Heather's good. You will probably know somebody that you do that with, too. Like, whether it's an older person or younger person, does this make sense to you?
I do, but I'm just going to refer to her as Heather's mom because she'll be like the canonical example of the low-tech person that can handle this high-tech technology.
She's also very frugal, so she didn't want to pay a whole lot of money for an in-home voice system, but it was $49 for her to get an Echo Dot, so I helped her set it up and then told her, I work with this. Did you know that?
Very cool.
And she's like, really? We should build me a skill.
Uh-oh.
So here I am today.
You had to open your mouth and all this.
I know. It's true.
You got to do work for your mom. All right. So let's talk about how that integration takes place. So Alexa, of course, it's this personal assistant. It's a device. And you talk to it and you say, what's the weather like tomorrow? And it tells you. Or you turn on the lights and it doesn't.
Yes.
How does that work with Azure?
So the way that it works is I've got a nice little, diagram in my deck to kind of show this. But basically, Alexa is actually hosted on S3. So they have their own.
S3 is an Amazon service.
Yes, it is an Amazon service. And they have put together a really good algorithm for natural language processing that they do. And then when you register your skill, you give them an endpoint and say, hey, I want to handle events that are called intents. Different intents, which are the intended behavior, right? And then different sample utterances that will trigger those events. And you can have like 10, 20 utterances for the same intent. So all this does is it routes based on what it parses from the user is saying to a specific intent in your service. So it sends you JSON and says, hey, you have a few seconds to process this and give us a response in JSON in our format. So that's kind of why I chose to host it out in Azure, because it was so quick for me to set up a web API project and immediately publish from Visual Studio and set it out there. And if I wanted to, I could either integrate with an additional API, or I could just set up a real quick SQL Server integration and save any data back and forth from the user.
So you've built something that does this?
Yeah.
What did your web API project do?
So I'm an enormous Star Trek nerd.
Okay.
And the original computer on the Starship Enterprise is called LCARS.
Okay.
So I built kind of
it was.
A...
Is that, yes, is that the original series?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Well...
Or is it in the books? Is it like...
For sure, Next Generation. For sure, Next Generation. So I really loved the interactions that were done, because Gene Roddenberry's wife was the voice of the computer on the ship.
There's so much I'm learning today. I did not know that.
I know. And I loved that. But I like Alexa's voice just a little bit better. So instead of deciding to send back audio clips of her voice, I wanted to use Alexa's voice, but with the little beeps and like the warp drive sounds and,
I like it.
And everything. So I built kind of a sample skill that lets me say engage or red alert.
Engage.
Yes, absolutely. And it seemed to go over pretty well with my attendees, and so I'm happy about that. And hopefully, as long as I can brand it as an unofficial skill, you know, I can hopefully get it published and approved in the actual Alexa skill store so you can play
unofficial
with it.
Because it's a Star Trek trademark, is that what you mean?
Because of the sound sampling. So even though the next generation is getting up there in years, you still have to be careful whenever you're using samples of sounds, right?
Okay.
But I mean, it's so unique to them. I actually went to one of the lcars.com site, and they have the entire lcars interface plus all the sounds and little tidbits of the recordings from the series, of each different series.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I thought, you know what? Even though you can have a what we call a real natural conversation with Alexa, like, hey, what's up, Alexa? Why don't you turn this on? I wanted to feel like Counselor Troy or Captain Picard and talk to my Alexa
you wanted
device.
To make it so.
Exactly. And what's great is at the end of February, they added a wake word. So the first three wake words they came out with was Alexa, Amazon, or Echo. You can choose which one to wake up the device. All and they added computer.
Computer.
Yes. Now I can say computer. Open LCARS, and then I can continue the conversation with, you know, access code this, or start the holodeck, or whatever I want to say, and it feels very authentic to the series, so.
I love it.
Yeah, that was fun for me to do.
Is that project online somewhere?
Yes, actually, it's in my GitHub, so you can go on my Coraline GitHub and see it. It's got a really good examples of different types of responses, so you can do, like, a plain response that just lets her parse it and say it out loud, or you've got an SSML response, which is a speech synthesis markup language. So in tags I can put things like have emphasis on this or say potato instead of potato.
Okay.
You can do all sorts of things with Alexa that are very customizable. You even have speech cons where she can say things with we're going to call it enthusiasm, so she can say things like booyah, really excited, you know, instead
I can say it like Patrick Stewart. Booyah.
No, I think you did it better than me. I can't do that. No, not me. I'm more the empath.
What was the... I'm more of a TOS guy. But
okay.
What was the biggest challenge in this project?
Wow. Okay, so debugging.
Yeah.
So because of the way that it works, there's no real local development, right? You can create your web service and then deploy it, and I would test it out in Postman or Fiddler or however you wanted to do it. And then I'd have to integrate it inside of their portal and point to it. They've got a service simulator inside of their portal to simulate the device. But once the actual process of saying something and going through their natural language processor, we have no connection to. So you have to wait for it to fire. So debugging why I would say something and it wouldn't, the event wouldn't trigger, in this case an intent wouldn't trigger, was hard. Or when something would get lost and swallowed up. So I'd have to remote debug through Azure, which I was lucky to be able to do, and then I could catch them as they came in. But there's always that black box. It's a black box coming in. It's a black box once you go out.
So you can only debug if it actually gets to Azure.
Correct. Yeah. And so that was a little challenging. I would say 60% of my issues were actually that she was hearing white noise, or I would drop my voice.
You say white noise, you mean noise that was drowning out the rest of what you're saying?
Correct, at the same frequency. Or that I might say hello, which my inflection goes up so she can hear it clearly, versus hello. So she might think
difference.
She might think you're saying help instead of hello, because the first three letters are similar. And so there's some defaulting inside of Alexa when she's trying to parse this to figure out. So if you're very clear, it works very well. And it works a lot better in like your home or your kitchen than it does in a big conference room.
Oh, because the noise is better.
Yeah,
The acoustics are better in there.
Yes, but they're getting better all the time. And so like I wish I could do some things around voice recognition of who you are. That would be awesome. But I think that's coming. But right now, just the fact that I can, if I set up
you can do that in Azure. You can call cognitive services and do
there
voice identification.
There you go. But you only have like 4 or 5 seconds to do it before you time out, because Alexa goes, I'm sorry, the service is taking too long to respond.
Oh, I see.
But it really enforces good, efficient programming when it comes to your service. Maybe you should do a microservice. Maybe you should do something really small and light. or if you're reaching out, in this case, I do a lot of prototyping for additional clients at my work. And if they've got a really heavy service in place that takes too long, this is an opportunity for us to refactor that, because she only allows, well, I say she, just like anything else, right? LX only allows so long before it will time out, because it's a bad user experience more than 4 or 5 seconds.
I see.
Yeah.
Is there anything we haven't covered we should have?
Just that I had this idea, you know, kind of tacking on to the Star Trek thing, is that we should do an Alexa HoloLens integration to do a holodeck where you just say things like, I want to add a couch, take me to Paris, and things happen without you having to be in front of your screen with your hands.
I love this idea.
I think it would be amazing to do, and that would really like put us a step forward. So hopefully when the HoloLens comes down in price, people will want to
have
that.
Do you know this tall guy right here?
Gaines, yes.
He's a big Star Trek fan.
Yes, he is. He also has fantastic outfits that he wears.
Wore Dr. Horrible yesterday.
I know.
But Patrick Stewart was present when he got engaged.
Sir
Patrick to propose to Mary. So
I know.
And he's a HoloLens guy.
That's
where this all came from.
Matt Renzi's a HoloLens guy. Yeah. I know him pretty well, too. And there's lots of them. I would like to have one. I still don't own one. I got to work on
that. Oh, I just gave away a couple of them right before I came sat down here with you.
Of course. I made that up.
I totally made that up.
No, I never win anything. I'm a very unlucky person.
You have where would people are watching this and they're saying, I want to do this. Are there resources they can go to learn more?
Absolutely. So you can follow me on Twitter, and I post my decks all the time and my GitHub there. You can go to GitHub.com/Quarline, which is QURRLYNE.
Is that also your Twitter handle?
That is my Twitter handle.
Okay.
Quarline, because Quora, Quora from Tron Legacy, because that's who inspired me to actually get into programming.
Okay.
And Coraline, because I'm a big
Neil Gaiman fan.
Yes, actually, very nice. You're already in my brain, you know.
I'm proud to hear you say that. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I think that the rapid conversion from acquaintance to friendship in the technology field is very unique to our space. I do.